Hello and welcome to another episode of This Thing On. We are here today at Comedia. My name's Alex Petrovich and I'm here with my co-host Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Jade.
Hi.
And our fantastic guest this episode, Ed Gamble.
Hello.
Hi, and how are you?
Very well. This microphone situation set up, I don't know how many people have brought up this microphone.
First one.
Been talking. Right.
Lay into it.
So I'm not laying into it at all, but it's an odd looking thing. It looks a bit like a Doctor Who robot. It's got a red light on it, but I feel like I'm going to be looking at it like it's another host of the podcast, because it is like we are all, just to set the scene, we're in the Comedia dressing room, so we're huddled around it and it is on its own chair. So I feel like we're sort of all interrogating this tiny robot.
The weird thing about this mic is even when we're not recording, that red light is still on. So even when we tell the guests we're not recording, it looks like we're trying to trick
them. Oh, yeah. And you may not be trying to trick me, but the microphone is. That is a sentient being, and I will be treating it as such.
That microphone holds a lot of dirt on the comedy
side. Yeah, I bet it does.
How was your journey down? All good?
Easy, which is not something you can say for Brighton most of the time. I was saying to you earlier before we started recording it, if I plan in advance and get an earlier train, I thought I'll go early to Victoria.
Yeah.
Because then if it's all fucked, then I just get a train and I'll still be on time. And obviously everything was running fine and it went really quickly and I'm here stupidly early. So.
Feet up and chilling.
Feet up, went to the Pret in the station if you want a little peek into my life. Coffee in the Pret.
Pretty glam.
Yeah, pretty glam. Had to wake myself up from the nap on the train, you know. That's life.
We had a bit of a diary mix-up recently as well, didn't we?
Oh, God. Now, I'm not normally one to do this sort of thing. I'd say that's one of three times where I've done that. And in 12 years of doing stand-up, I think that's pretty good. Alex booked me for a charity gig, and then I messaged it. It's the right way around it. I messaged him going, where is the gig, mate? I'm not quite sure where the gig is tomorrow. And he said, well, for a start, it's tomorrow plus 1 month. Which, I was so happy. Because I'd had such a busy week. I was away in Scotland, like, for about 6 days, then had to go from Glasgow to Aberystwyth in North Wales, and then go back to London. So the idea of going to Brighton the night after, I was like, fuck it, I'm such a good guy doing this. For charity, was clearly what happened was, so I booked it because it was way more sensible than that. And if you had asked me to do it then, I probably would have gone, I'm sorry.
When you were talking about this earlier, when Ed sent me that message and said, so where is the gig tomorrow? I just immediately assumed
I'd fucked up.
That's why I sent the screenshot of the thing. Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's exactly what I think as well. But I rarely do. I'm pretty good with my diary, I think, sort of across things, but on that occasion I had messed up, but I'm glad it was that way around.
But also it worked out for both of us.
Yeah.
I hadn't fucked up and you didn't have to be in Brighton next time.
Oh, it was great.
Well, there are good fuck ups and bad ones.
Yeah.
There, which is, you know, if you don't have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You can say.
No, I was just going to say, it was for charity. What was the charity, Alex?
So we are running a charity gig on April 17th, which sold out in 1 hour.
That's pretty impressive.
100 tickets sold out.
Nice.
One you'd see some of the cats that are on.
It is a super lineup. It is. Mr. Ed Gamble. We've got Dane Baptiste, Zoe Lyons, Sean McLaughlin, Maisie Adam, and Angela Barnes.
Nice.
Brilliant. Great lineup.
It's going to be a fun night.
I'm going to be there. And I don't know what date it's on. It's not March 17th, guys. Don't worry if you think you've missed it. Wasn't that gig on March 17th? No, it's April 17th. It can happen to the best of us.
So the reason that we're sitting in the backstage of the Comedia is because you're just about to do your tour show.
Yeah. In about, just under 2 hours. Over 2 hours.
What show is this on the tour? What number show?
Oh, I have no idea. We fair crack through this leg, I think. So the original tour was 44 dates, so I think this must be, like, let's say 35 or something like that. So we're into it, but I'm doing more in the autumn now. I'm doing another 30 in the autumn, so
it's
sort of not halfway through anymore.
And you're still, the show is amazing now, I imagine.
It's amazing, and it's changes, and it... yeah, I'm really enjoying it because it feels good and it's better than it was in Edinburgh and it feels tighter and looser all at the same time. Yeah.
Whereabouts were you in Edinburgh?
The Pleasance above.
Oh, nice.
It's a 140-seat venue in the Pleasance Courtyard, just outside the Pleasance Courtyard. It's a classic. Is he a classic Edinburgh? Completely, you know, personality. You know, just full of like interesting things. You know, certainly not just a black stage and reg seat. No, it's a fun room. In terms of Edinburgh rooms, I think it's quite fun. Boiling though. Obviously, yeah. And they
sweat
put
boxes.
Yeah, one of the things they were like, "Oh, come to this room. We've got a big air conditioning unit we can put in there, and also there's air conditioning." And then the air conditioning goes on, and it's so noisy as to be obtrusive. Then they put the air conditioning unit on, and about halfway through the run, they started putting it on, and it for no reason started smelling of wet dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so annoying.
So the choice was the audience pass out, or the audience are still quite warm but also stink of a wet Dalmatian.
Is that an air conditioning thing? Because I went to Seville quite recently, and the air conditioner, as soon as you turn it was like vomit or wet dogs.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it must be a problem with air conditioning. You would have thought if you get to 2019 you could be cool in a room without stinking of wet dogs.
What were you doing in Seville, Alex? Another football holiday?
I went for a little excursion to...
Did you?
Yeah, we had a bit of a little mix up with the food. So I'm a big fan of churros.
Sure.
Dip a little bit of chocolate. So in Spain, that's a breakfast thing. So
right.
We thought, we had our breakfast and thought, you know, let's share some between us. And we went to this place we found that was still selling, because normally they stop about midday, 12:30. Great, brilliant. Went in there, we said, churros, por favor.
Yeah.
And he nodded, went to the back, and he came back and said, choco? And we're like, yeah, we're chocolate.
Yeah.
Came back with what can only be described as a 20-euro cone of fried cuttlefish.
What?
Because choco is Spanish for cuttlefish.
Wow.
So we had some...
That sounds quite good, though.
To be fair, it was delicious, but not within a five-minute proximity to a breakfast.
Yeah, and your mouth's ready for churros.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. We'd gone for the sweet cuttlefish instead.
Did you diplomatically try and make your opinion known?
I basically said...
Very difficult.
I kind of went churros, and he went no, chocos.
Yeah,
and so it's chocos. So, chocos it was.
So in his perspective, you'd gone in there and said, "I'd like some cuttlefish."
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
And he brought you some cuttlefish, and you'd gone donuts. And you'd gone, no cuttlefish.
And we nodded smart politely and left.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There's not much you can do in that scenario. And the weird thing is, when we were carrying the cuttlefish through the street, this has never happened in any other scenario, people were coming up to us and asking if they could have some of the cuttlefish.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like, I think it's like a proper local delicacy. Like,
you couldn't do that in Brighton. The seagulls would be on you.
Yeah.
20 euros worth straight in the air.
Yeah, exactly. It's a suicide attempt in Brighton. Just cover yourself in cuttlefish and move through the street.
I've seen a seagull in Brighton with its wing knock, not even just swoop and take it, literally with its wing knock the chips out of someone's hand, literally just stare at them like, and what?
Yeah.
These are my chips now.
An aggressive seagull on a low carb diet.
My friend used to, well, we once this is that's really weird, we were skateboarding years ago obviously, and my friend found a string of sausages, and he was like, I bet it can get three in one thing. So it threw it up in the air, and it did, yeah, three sausages in one.
When is that your entrance music?
I think that's on my playlist. It's funny that it kicked in at the end of the sausage sequel.
It's at the end of a sequel. Freeze frame,
you
credits.
Three sausages and one seagull. Hit it!
You were saying, when you say we were skateboarding years ago, obviously, aren't you skateboarding now?
I've flirted with skateboarding again, but I think I've realised that I don't like pain.
Are you not?
My friends are now, obviously, around 30.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's go down to the skate park. And I just kind of am like, there is so many other things that I want to do, though, that's not that. Like, they're all really into it. But I never got
into it.
Nah.
I still like, I will buy all the clothes. And
yeah.
I think, if I'm 33, that is just a classic 33-year-old man.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll wear a Thrasher hoodie, but there's no way you're putting me on wheels.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Do you remember there was a brief fashion for aggressive inline skating?
Was
yeah, so that's more my era. So maybe there was a couple of years where the hot thing to do was blading.
Yeah,
is that's the single track?
Yeah, yeah, it's just like roleplay, basically, but just like the aggressive version, so a lot of ramp stuff. And I was terrible at that. I bought some skates and stuff, but some Vertexes. They were also available in gold, but I didn't do that because all the paint scratched off too easily. But I had some other ones that were just like normal rollerblades that had the brakes on the back. And I remember I went to a skate park and they're like, you can't use those because we had someone use those and they get caught on the edge of the ramp and then they hurt themselves and they had to be a helicopter.
Oh, wow.
So I spent an hour and a half trying to get the brakes off the back. And then went on a tiny ramp, immediately fell over, and really hurt my ass.
Yeah.
So I think that was my last attempt at doing a ramp.
Yeah. Coccyx injury.
That's what it was.
That is one of the most painful things.
Awful. Absolutely
awful.
You've
both done that.
I've bruised a coccyx.
Yeah.
Was that rollerblading?
Yeah, that was rollerblading. Yeah. Mm. Bruised my coccyx.
Mum's just clumsy.
And when was
you said you bruised her coccyx like it wasn't yours.
Yeah, I bruised a coccyx.
I bruised a coccyx.
To be fair, he had it coming. Yeah. That seagull nicked my chips. So did you come down to Brian Lodge? Am I right in thinking, because me and Sean McLaughlin used to run IOU Comedy.
Yeah.
Was that your first gig in Brighton, am I right in thinking?
Maybe. Was that at Sticky Mike's?
Sticky Mike's Frog Bar.
possibly. I wouldn't be able to.
That's fair.
I wouldn't be able to rubber stamp that rumor, but yeah, it was probably an.
That was one of my claims to fame, which you've
Well, if I said it to you, it's probably true.
When you go to like new open mic gigs, you hear
Stalker.
I owe you. Big shout.
I owe you.
Let's just say yeah.
Let me ask you the question again, Ed.
Yeah.
So, just to clarify, we gave you your big break.
It's nice to be able to come and do these rooms in Brighton. I did IOU comedy.
To 20 people in a sweaty basement.
Yeah, it was more than 20.
20's quite good going for Brighton now.
Yeah, we used to get decent crowds down there. Like, we had, like, we weren't... I don't know if we're allowed to say this, we weren't ever officially sure what the capacity was. We asked the venue. I mean, they've shut down now, so it's absolutely fine.
Right.
Through their own choice. But we always used to ask them, like, so how many tickets can we sell? Like, what's the capacity?
Yeah.
They come and just, how many chairs we can fit in there?
Yeah.
Like, that's how we're doing it.
Yeah.
We never, I think most we ever had in that room was 100.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that was tight.
That was a sweaty squeeze.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine. No, I've gigged in Brighton quite a lot. I've done this room quite a lot. Toured here last year. Done the small room a few times on tour and previewing. Carolina Brunswick quite a lot. I'm doing, on the extension of this tour, I'm doing the Old Market, which
I've... Oh, nice. That's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I've not done that before, so I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
The Brighton crowds tend to be pretty good.
Mm.
So it's got a similar sort of feel to Bristol crowds as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just nice. The hipsters with stuff they're wearing, they might have knitted themselves.
Artisanal bread.
They're an artisanal crowd.
I'm throwing poppy seeds at you if they don't like you.
Yeah, handmade crowd. That's what I like.
Craft heckles.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Smell the hops off
it. Hoppy comeback.
I was just going to say, yeah, because the start is really important. And I was like, you're just about to do the show. It's really important. If you fuck that up, fucked,
mate. You're really into a good headspace.
Yeah, it is really important. You don't want to be tripping over the microphone cable or anything. But yeah, no, I see shows that have like a huge amount of tech cues that tour. I think, fuck, I don't know how people do that. In this show as well, I have stuff on the screen, but I only do the stuff on the screen when my tour manager's with me, because he can do everything. Like, there'll be screens at the venue and he knows what to say and what to use, so I've just got the other stuff that I need on the screen for gigs like this. I just have big boards with it printed on and just hold it up, because that's how stupid I am. I can't facilitate a screen. I can't turn up and go, have you guys got the screen? Because also I'm really awkward if I turned up at a venue and, you know, that is not of the quality of this one, and I was supposed to have a screen and they were like, yeah, we got a screen, and then it's just like a pillowcase and it's like not focused and all over the place. I'd be like, that's a very nice screen, thank you for having me.
That's going to ruin it.
Exactly. Thank you for ruining my show, but I love you so much.
I did one gig where the venue had booked a headline. I can't remember who it was, but it was with an electric guitar,
right?
And he got there and asked, where do I plug the, they knew who they were booking.
Yeah,
got that. Oh, do you need an app? And like, he had to just completely abandon his...
Even that level, even that thing of just like having an electric guitar, it's a nightmare. Having to do stuff in advance, putting something in the boot.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
way, absolutely not. That's well, part of the reason I enjoy doing stand-up is I can just...
Go over there, and then you're like, but I'm here.
Yeah. Like, apart from the bit, I did have to bring the big boards today, but otherwise I just brought like a tiny little bag. It's great. You just turn up, do it with your mouth, and then leave again. Perfect.
That's my favourite question from venue. Any tech requirements? No.
No. Yeah. As long as they can see me and hear me.
Which is sometimes in some gigs I've done.
Yeah.
Not correct.
Yeah, you always need to specify you need a line and a mic. Yeah.
Imagine if you asked for all of the most horrible things. Can I have curry served at the beginning and during? Served at the beginning, throughout, a microphone that cuts out. Oh, what is it? I was doing a gig with someone who did, that's what I was going to say, a tech. They've got loads of, well, they don't have, I say loads, they don't have loads of tech requirements. But this place had one of those microphones that they, you know, they're sort of CD DJs. Well, DJs.
Yeah.
And they're like, but the ones at like Christmas parties, not like other proper DJs. But they sort of, they need to talk and they need the music to sort of cut down while they're talking. So
they had
one of those mics and they'd left the setting on and then the person there didn't know how to switch it off. So there was an act who used music. But every time he's tried to do his bit where he spoke over the music would cut out.
Oh my god.
And he tried to do it for like 15 minutes and then he literally just said, fuck it, I'm done, and walked off. Which was
Axl Rose.
I'm not gonna say who it was because I wanted
to. I've done curry gigs though. You bring that up. I've done comedy and a curry night.
That can be alright.
There was one in Reading that was always quite nice, a comedy and curry night. But people were very much interested in the curry situation. That's what they were there for. The comedy was interrupting the curry.
Yeah, at least it's not like a buffet or something.
Well, I did one where the queue for the buffet was behind the, as you were on stage.
Yeah.
So literally, I was on stage with just a line of people.
Yeah,
I was
like,
I'm literally performing to no one, but what you want is behind me.
Turn around, Alex, surely. Turn around, mate.
Performing in the round.
Yeah.
I was going to ask what gigging with food is like, but that doesn't sound like a very good gig.
No, if the curry, at no point should anything be available to the audience other than comedy during the comedy. So bar should always be shut.
Curry line should
always be shut. They can't have any distractions.
Yeah.
I'm not calling people stupid, but they're just easily distracted.
Yeah.
No tellies, no pool, nothing.
No
just
pool.
Everything shut down, seats pointed in the right direction, phones off. Because I can't be trusted with that. If I'll be watching a film and my phone will be on.
Yeah,
if
there's
a curry.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's it. I'm done. There's no way I'm watching the film.
I think we've both done gigs where the football screen behind the stage.
Yeah, awful. Awful.
Yeah, it's really horrible. I just don't get some promoters sort of brave. I mean, they must not know. They must not have done any research into it.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get in there and you go, this is not gonna work though. And they're like, cool, we're gonna start in 5 minutes. And you're like, but how are we gonna start? Because this is fucked. Like, but then they never say anything, they never let it slip. Never go, oh, I've actually really fucked this up, but would you mind going on?
Do you think there's people that are used to running like music open mics?
Yeah, because you like, and but then I feel bad for the musicians. Because if that's what's the norm in musicians, that in musical nights that people can just be like, oh, it's background, it's fine, you can just have it as background. It's like, no, people focusing.
Well, we did one, it was run by a music promoter, like you said, and literally I was like, oh, there's no audience, so is this going here? He goes, oh, no, there is audience, and those two people there. And it was literally two people just having dinner in a pub.
Aww.
And when he walked away, I was like, oh, do you know comedy's happening? They said, no. And literally as soon as he turned the mic on, they got up and left.
No, of course.
I had a venue that tried to trap me. Tried to tap me into doing my show. No, but they did because there were two people that they brought in and they said, right, okay, the house staff have brought the audience in, and I looked over, there was two people, so we're going to shut the doors now and let you get on with it. And I was like, two fucking people, like, because I've done shows to three or four people, but
yeah.
two fucking people
I don't know, I feel like a diva, but I think anything less than sort of 10 is
exactly
on the cusp, really, isn't it?
I did one, I'm not going to name the place or the promoter,
yeah.
But I did one where there was no audience.
No audience.
But this was like their tryout gig for a different gig, a paid gig. And, and the promoter said to me, look, just perform to each other because I don't need an audience to know if you're funny.
Wow. Well, you definitely do.
That's a basic requirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
People laugh.
When I don't have an audience, you're not a comedian. Me without an audience is just me in my normal life. I'll be honest, I'm grumpy most of the time. So I need an audience.
It was a... it was
so
hard
bad.
Work. But it was also all really new acts, so everyone plays
yeah.
when... Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
You don't know that, so that's wrong. Or yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get progression from it?
Yeah, I did a gig. I did his progression gig and got my fee, which was £3.20.
Oh. It's amazing.
I'll tell you the name after the end of this podcast,
sure.
And you all know them.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Oh, I think we all know them. If you say that.
It's amazingly. Absolute nutters that populate the open spot circuit.
Mm.
Up to a certain level where you're just like, there is rife with absolute loons. Acts and promoters.
Yeah.
Would, without naming names, do loons not filter up?
You can't filter up if you're a loon. Like, look,
some must slip through.
But also, I think a lot of the time, the loons don't want to filter up, or they don't know they can. So,
yeah.
There's so many open spots you've been going for like 25
want.
Years, and it's a social thing, and B, they don't see it as a career thing. It's genuinely just because they need to get something out of their system.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if he's told this story publicly, so I won't name him. Like a comedian friend of mine who's very successful went back to this was a few years ago, had been doing very well, and went back to an open spot night to do some new material and saw some old friends from the open spot circuit, was still on the open spot circuit, and they saw him and went, hello mate, how are you, what have you been up to? So they have no concept.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
people have no concept that there's another level of comedy. It's all so insulated, it's like a social thing, which is great. And also, I think it's great. I mean, the loons provide good stories, right?
Yeah.
It's good to see you back on the circuit.
Yes. Good to see you get out there, man. We thought we'd lost you.
I think it's time for our first feature, which is called Plots That About.
Plots that are plots, 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 that are about.
So Plots That About, I give you and Joe a different film each, and these are real films.
Yeah.
And you have to tell me and make up what you think the film is about.
Great.
But just feel free to be as creative as you want,
yeah,
and
sure.
embellish as much as you want. And then Jade will decide which of the two films she would most like to see.
Ah, so it's based on what you'd like to see rather than what's the closest.
What you think the film would be.
Right,
it's
okay,
what
cool.
Jade would
want
to see.
Yeah.
And then at the end I will reveal what the real films are about.
All right, nice one.
As our resident, Joe will go first. Joe, let me know if you have seen this
That's
film.
That's not how... As our resident, Joe should go first. That's not how things work. It should... politeness suggests the guest will go first. If you have someone over for a dinner party, I'm the host, so I'll be getting first pick of the chicken. I'll be having the legs.
This is more from the perspective of wait till you see the bar that's the low bar that's set.
It's
sorry, Joe.
Well, it wasn't you're not sorry. Are you right in front of me, shit. Go on.
Go on, okay.
Your fucking film.
Your film. Tell me if you've seen this. It's Rubber. Do you know this film?
No.
I've seen it, so that, I'm glad
okay.
Joe's got that one.
Okay,
yeah.
Rubber.
Rubber is a story about the Northern Ireland conflict starring James Nesbitt.
Okay.
But it's not all... it's not all... I don't know what I was going to say. It's not all bad. It's not all sort of, you know...
Just for the listener, Joe wiggled his arms there when he was trying to work out what word he meant. It's not all, and then just sort of wiggled his arms as if that was going to help him come up with a word. Trying to shake one free.
I can't. I'm trying to sort of be tactical with my words. But it's not all explosions, is what I was going to say. But
you've put yourself in this situation. You have to be so careful what you say these days. You went straight at the James Nesbitt in the Northern Ireland conflict.
I thought I thought I'd do something that I've been watching documentaries about recently. So anyway, James Nesbitt runs an old people's home filled with old people who all have their own pets that keep them you know, go in there chatting.
Wiggle your arms.
There's a new arrival, okay, and she is called Edna. No, she's called Neve.
Okay.
And Neve has come from Southampton to find a home that she wants to die in, obviously. And she picked this place, and everyone's like, oh, you know, you've come here. And she's like, I'm getting back to my roots. And then she goes back to her old house, and she finds a diary under some floorboards. And it's her diary from when she's a little girl. And she starts reading through it. And she reads that there was a boy that she's forgotten about. It's all in the mists of time. And she realises that he may have just been her one true love. And he was supposed to meet her at a dance, and then he never met her. And then slowly she gets the name and some more sort of various details, phone numbers, etc. And now she finds out that he was sent off to find his fortune by his evil mother, played by Maggie Smith. This is actually quite good for me, I know. But she finds out that she takes everything back, and she's like, there's a page missing. And then she finds the page because James Nesbitt has it in his house, blah blah blah. Yeah. And then she finds out that the guy's his father, and then she says, oh, this man, I think your father was my long lost love. And then James Nesbitt says, do you want to come see him? And then that's the end.
Oh.
Rubber.
Few questions. Why is it called Rubber? Clearly, what's happened, Joe, is you've thought up a whole plot before we started reading. And whatever the title was, you were just going to say it, which is unfair for me, because you've had prep time. So, Rubber, why is it called Rubber?
It's called Rubber because rubber, as a material... is quite maybe it stretches out to other parts of the world, but then when it comes back, it always takes.
Okay, you're describing rubber now.
of time.
Can we have some of those straws back?
Rubber.
Okay. Interesting. So you see why I let him go first?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Your film is Career Opportunities.
Career Opportunities, right. So, James Nesbitt in the Island Conflict.
Careful.
But it's not all, you know.
Ed is shaking his arms.
Okay, it's set in the afterlife. That's where it's set. We start in the afterlife. And it's a series of people who've died, and you see how they all die and stuff. And you slowly recognise in the first sort of 10-15 minutes of the film that they're all famous murderers or dictators. Ooh. Or your classic evils, right? And they're all played by, you know, wonderful actors, very recognisable actors. Mm. That's what it needs to be. So you've got, you know, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
They need to be recognisable, actually, like, oh, there's Gary Oldman, there's there's Vanessa Redgrave. So you're sort of distracted, you're distracted momentarily, because, and then you find out who they are, who the characters they are playing, right? And they get told, look, guys, let's not beat around the bush, you're fucked up here. It's all done like an office block, by the way. It's not tethered to any particular religion. It's all very blank. So, and they get told, look, you've messed up, guys. Here's a look at some of the things you did, and they, you know, and they finally come to terms with the fact they've really messed up. But there's a new thing where they get to live another life and they get to pick what they do to make up for what they did in the past. And it's like a big careers office, but for the afterlife. And they get sent back down.
Wow.
And then guys, I could tell you what happens about Osborne.
Wow, that is impressive. Jade, over to you.
Okay, well, Robert.
Yeah,
collect
my prize.
I know. Do you know, I've missed James Nesbitt, so I was quite glad that you brought him up.
Their new series of Cold Feet, Jade. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, see, I haven't caught up with that, so it's good that I'm seeing him again. But exactly what Ed said, I was wondering what it had to do with rubber. I also thought maybe you could have, the reason it could have been called rubber is because people bounce back.
Well,
is that what you were trying to get at?
I don't know whether you listen to my explanation. But
I mean, it was quite long.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What is the explanation of the plot?
No, it was very good. And then career opportunities. That was a very good idea.
Thank you.
I was a big fan of that.
A bit annoyed I've given it away on a podcast.
Yeah, if anyone thinks of taking that idea, it's Ed's idea.
Thank
so
you.
It's out there now. I also, yeah, I mean, Gary Oldman, amazing actor.
Playing
Vanessa Redgrave. Yeah, exactly. And do you know, one thing I did like, though, was how when you described it, it was like, they've messed up.
Messed up.
This comes up a lot in this podcast.
I just felt it was a very, very whimsical.
Sure. Yeah. Look, guys, you've screwed up.
But yeah, I mean, that was good. I would watch that one. So Ed's the winner.
Yes.
Congratulations, Ed. You are the winner of Plots That About.
Never
I will. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I will now reveal the what they both films were actually about. So I'll go with career opportunities first. At the end of this description, tell me if you can think what other film this person directed and see if they were running out of ideas. The plot centres around someone that works for Target, and he is locked in the superstore overnight, and it just so happens the girl of his dreams also happens to be locked in the same supermarket overnight. And they get up to all sorts of hijinks, which is only spoiled when two dim-witted criminals break in and they now have to foil the thieves. What other film do you think that person directed?
Surely Home Alone.
Correct. Now, Joe, you are the only person in the room that doesn't know what the film Rubber is about. It is about a car tyre that...
sorry, I'll stop you there. No, go on, tell me the rubber.
A car tyre that comes to life and goes on a murderous rampage.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's way better than you think it's going to be, because it's so schlocky, and there's almost no dialogue in it because it's just follows the tyre, and then it'll just like go and rev up and run over people. It's great.
The first sentence,
tyres are made of rubber, aren't they?
Yeah, it's almost as if that makes sense.
The first sentence of the official plot says, in the late 1990s, somewhere in California, a tyre named Robert somewhere comes to life.
What's that about?
Congratulations on winning Plots That About.
Thank you very much.
How does it make you feel?
Oh, buzz. So great.
We've also learnt a lot about Joe's understanding of rubber.
Yeah.
One day I hope to enjoy the accolades that you're currently expecting.
Have you ever won Plots That About?
I think I
once.
Have. Yes,
once against him, the only time he wasn't against a guest.
Right, okay. It seems mean to not give it to the guest.
Yes.
I mean, in that case, it was correct to do so.
Yeah. And all other occasions.
Yeah, yeah.
Last 4 years, yeah. It's always been correct. But it's great, man. You should feel that buzz. I mean, you could just jump on the train now.
This show tonight, they're going to be like, he's so happy. Good news, isn't it?
Where did he get that trophy from?
Yeah, yeah. Wow,
that's so funny. Because basically, my girlfriend was talking to me the other day. You know, when you'll buy a, she has. So everyone has these things, I think. But you know, when you'll buy a river and then you think about throwing your phone in the river or something stupid like that. Are you ever in a situation like this and think, just fuck off? It's sold out, 300 people.
Just
leave.
Go, guys.
Go have an ice cream on the pier. Money.
Are you going up to Edinburgh this year?
No Edinburgh. So yeah, I wanted to do more. I want to squeeze every audience member I can out of this tour. So
8 years is 8 years consecutively. Yeah. Going to Edinburgh.
So I didn't. Yeah, so that's a long. Was it? Yeah, no. Since 2010, so I think it must be. Is it 7 in a row? So I did a double act there for 3 years, 2011, 12, 13, and then 5 solo shows. Yeah, so eight years. Yeah, and then before that, so I had 2010 off, and then before that I did 2004 to 2010 every year. So 1 year off in those years, I think I have another one.
Treat myself, have another one.
So you do a big tour. Yeah. Are you touring through August?
No, not through August. So this leg of the tour finishes in May, and then I start again in like September and go through till December. But there's stuff in between, but it's nice to have the year sort of planned out and not.
Gonna do anything with the month? Other gigs or treat yourself?
Well, I'm doing some festival gigs, which. Mm. Just because I'd never done Reading and Leeds or anything.
Have
like
you
that,
not?
So I might just, yeah, I'm definitely doing that. But I don't know how it'll be.
How do you find other festivals?
Awful.
Yeah. I've watched comedians of it. It's not set up for comedy.
No, not at all. Latitude is fine, I think, but it's still like, it's not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But at Latitude, they're there to watch comedy at least.
Yeah.
There is a comedy tent.
Yeah.
I'm not anticipating Reading and Leeds to be the most wonderful comedy experience.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to have played Reading or Leeds.
Have you been just as a punter to Reading or Leeds?
Years ago. It's not really my sort of thing anymore. So I used to go to Leeds quite a lot. So my grandparents live near Leeds. So I used to go and stay with them and then go to the, like, when I was a teenager,
yeah,
for
yeah.
like a day or something. Because they used to have the Rock Day and used to have like bands that I actually liked on. Mm. Not so much anymore. I'm doing Download as well, which is more my sort of thing.
Nice.
So I'm doing,
nice.
I think the Wednesday, they do it on the Wednesday and Thursday, the comedy, and then I'm staying for the weekend.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun.
Who are you looking forward to there?
Oh, it's a good lineup actually. It sort of appeals to me quite a lot this year. Headliners are Slipknot, Tool, and Def Leppard. Sort of not that jazzed about Def Leppard, but Slipknot and Tool definitely. So Tool I'm going to see in Vienna the week before as
nice.
Well.
Yeah.
Really excited
oh, cool.
about that. Yeah.
I saw them at Download. A while back,
yeah,
they were excellent.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Slipknot
yeah.
are excellent live
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, they're amazing live. I'm really looking forward to that. Clutch are on as well. You're one of my favourite bands. There's loads of
nice
stuff on, but it'd just be fun to be at a festival and not.
Smashing Pumpkins are they on as well?
Yeah, they're sub-headlining for Tool, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm going to Glastonbury for the first time this year.
Nice.
First time.
Yeah,
I say that having never been. It's quite. My friend always heard there's a lot of admin, isn't it, getting tickets? Do you find it?
I was quite lucky. We had a team of six.
Yeah.
And the weekend they went on sale, I was on holiday in Amsterdam.
Oh, nice.
So
you didn't have to do anything.
Nothing. I literally just woke
right.
up to a WhatsApp, quite hungover, that just said, "We've got the tickets." I went, "Cool, thanks." I went back to bed.
That's the reason it never appealed to me. I don't like musically; it doesn't appeal to me. But also, it just seems huge.
Yeah.
yeah.
The idea of going, "Oh, well, I want to go to that stage now," and go, "Right, well, it's going to take 45 minutes."
Yeah.
To walk there.
No.
Absolutely not.
Nah.
I've been twice, and all my friends were seeing someone on the main stage, and I went to see someone at like ages when it took me 30 minutes to walk
no,
to get to
no,
them.
No, I'm not
so,
doing that.
Yeah, it was just too big.
Yeah.
Like, just way too big.
Yeah.
Because you can't find each other anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just like a bigger space for you not to be able to find each other.
I think Glastonbury the festival is bigger than Glastonbury the place.
Right.
Like, it actually gets
yeah.
bigger. It's like ridiculous.
Me and, because obviously my girlfriend Alice is from Devon, obviously everyone.
Yeah. You all know that.
But when we get the train back, it was actually really funny. There was from Exeter that you go past Glastonbury, basically, to get to St Pancras or whatever. And there's usually little festivals during the year, so they're like little mini festivals. What was really funny is the seats. There's never a free seat. Like, even when it's not a festival, there's never a free seat. But all these people book tickets, and no one obviously gives a fuck. But it's really great to see loads of people who have just been battered by like a 4-day festival. And I saw this one girl screaming. She was like, "I've got a seat! I have a seat!" And she had those eyes, which is like, you've been up for fucking 3 days. And she was like shouting at these old sort of Devonshire folk. They were just like, "Fuck you! This is not happening." But it was real. I love watching humans break down because of something that they've done, but they're
yeah.
not willing to take credit for. It's just like, "Oh, everyone, I feel really sick because of the things I've done. Like, please have a seat." Never, ever, ever.
I remember once at Download, I fell asleep in a camping chair at night, and when I woke up, everything was on fire around me.
Oh god! Well, I'm staying in a hotel. I'm never camping at a festival again.
I can't do it.
I made so many decisions in the last sort of few years where I'm like, nope, not doing it. Yeah. I don't like it, so I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And camping at festivals is one of them.
I did Benicassim, and that was like an endurance.
But it was boiling, wasn't it?
Horrible.
Yeah. No.
And the music goes on till 4, and the sun starts at like 6.
Oh, God.
So it's just like a recipe for disaster. Mm. And I can't sleep during the day either. So everyone was like, they have loads of Lidls out there. It's really weird. And then everyone's sleeping in the shadow of a Lidl. And it's like, just pay for a hotel. Yeah, I paid for a hotel for 3 nights in the end. Me and my friends all got together and we did, we literally drew straws for the beds because there was 3 beds and then one of us would have to sleep on the little rubber things that you take in a swimming pool. What's it called? Lilo.
Yeah.
And my friend drew the short one and I just saw the look in his eyes and I was so sad for him, but the euphoria I had.
I think I did my time doing that sort of thing and I was never... Some people are just fine with it. They can do that. They can sleep in tents, sleep wherever, sleep, you know, 10 to a room that's supposed to sleep 2 and go to a festival. I was never fine with it.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, camping and all that sort of thing, or sleeping on a sofa at a house party, this will be fine.
Yeah.
Get through your youth, and then you'll be an adult, and you can pay for your own bed, and
yeah.
you can just live a nice life.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went to Reading, like, we were 15. None of us knew how to put up a tent. It was one of those giant 10-man tents. And halfway through the first night, it was so winding and raining. We obviously hadn't put it up properly. It was half lifted off the floor in the air. And I was just sitting there going, I don't even know if I'm ready for this now.
Yeah. Last time I camped at a festival was Sonosphere Festival, which was like a rival to Download, but they've not done it for years. And I went with Alfie Brown, was performing there, and he was like, I've got a guest ticket, do you want to come? I was like, yeah. So we went and pulled up to the performance campsite, and he laughed at me, and everyone was laughing at me because I was camping, but I had to do it right. So I had the massive tent, inflatable mattress, fitted sheet, duvet with a cover on it.
That's amazing.
4 pillows, like just a bed, basically.
That's amazing. I once, when I was in my youth, thought it'd be a really good idea. I'm still in my youth now. I went to a festival and I didn't. The person I was going with was just like, we don't need stuff, someone's just going to let us stay in their tent. I was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that then. And I got there and.
I fucking hate those people.
And someone of our friends took pity when they let me sleep in the really tiny porch bit of their tent.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't have anything with me, so my pillow was my own shoes wrapped in my jacket, and as a blanket someone lent me a flannel which barely covered my upper arm, and I literally sat there convulsing with shivers throughout the whole night. I was like, well, I've made, like, this is the point, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing these.
Why would you expect someone to take a sleeping
bag? I don't know.
Because you're so precious about this. How did you get?
Yeah, how did you?
It was the worst weekend of my life. Worst weekend of my life.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. Well, that's it. I kind of want to do Glastonbury, so it's like that big tick for me done. And then,
yeah.
But
I've no need to tick that off.
I don't know what I've done.
I slept on a rucksack once at a festival, and now I looked at it and I was like, why is this so uncomfortable? There was a smashed bottle inside.
Oh god.
It just slept on the floor. 8 hours. It was, yeah.
Didn't one of your friends at Benicassim get stuck inside a tent and burst out of it like the Hulk?
Yeah, we put a suitcase lock on his zips. It was actually really... But then it was the first morning of my 21st birthday, so I thought, this is a great present. And he just was trying to get out of it for ages, and then it just burst through the top of the tent. And we were like, he's got a broken tent, but that was...
That's worth it.
Yeah.
What did you do with the rest of it? Did you stay in someone else's tent?
I don't know, actually. Part of that decision making. No, I didn't. He was alright there. He didn't sleep outside, I'll tell you that.
Didn't think of the consequences.
No.
Ed, anything you would like to plug with us?
Oh, when's this coming out?
Jade. A
couple of weeks, probably.
Cool.
Yep.
Just on tour, really. If you go on my website, edgamble.co.uk/gigs, I'm on tour until the end of the year. That's basically all you need to. I do a podcast as well called Off Menu. Which is a food podcast with James A. Castor, so you can listen to that as well at all the normal places. But apart from that,
and
just I plug just living your life.
Have a good time.
Yeah, be safe, live your life, happiness.
Perfect. Jade and Joe.
No, I also do another podcast, but it's having a bit of a break at the moment, but it is coming back, and it's called Musical Chairs, where me and comedian Jen Ives watch a musical, then we talk about it afterwards.
Nice.
So plug that.
Joe Foster?
I'm doing a show at the Brighton Fringe with Phil Gerrard. I'm making this plug very intense.
Yeah, and you're making usually, direct eye contact with me as well.
I always usually fuck them up, so now I'm being really, you know, so I'm trying to do it good.
Where?
See, there you go, I can't do it.
Where are you doing it?
At the Caxton Arms. The Caxton Arms on the 10th of May at 8 o'clock. And then the weekend of the second, the first weekend of June, that's before the bank holiday. So that's that whole weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, Alex.
Yes.
Of the first night, the Friday is at 8 o'clock. And the second, the Saturday and the Sunday is at 3 p.m. Which I'm, looking forward to those ones. And then, I don't know. Anything else? I'm not sure.
Actually, if you go to Joe's show on the 10th, you can stick around till 10:30 and then come and see my show.
There you go.
That's what I'll be doing. I sounded really insensible. That's genuinely what I'll be doing, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's what I'll be doing.
That's where I'm going to be that night. I'm running a charity gig on the 17th, but that's sold out. But just getting
just
in there again.
Yeah,
good luck, guys. Sean McLaughlin's wedding. Plug that.
Yeah.
yeah, that's me.
Where is that? No.
Where sometime in May, Canada. Little Alex Petrovich across the in the big pond thing.
The big pond.
That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I feel like you've got the admin all wrong there. Where's Alex? He's in the big pond.
Canada.
He's in Canada, you say.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all from us this time. I've been Alex Petrovich. That's been Joe Foster.
Hi. Bye.
That's been Jade.
Bye.
And you've been Ed Gamble.
Thank you very much. Fucking love a podcast like this where he said thank you very much. You were like, okay, everyone, okay, we're good. Joe said hi instead of bye.